Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark.
Blah, blah, blah. Don't you change it up a little bit? Give us a little spice over there. Come on, liven it up. Welcome to On the Mark. Hi, I'm Mark Lawrence. It's a beautiful day in central Pennsylvania. Our great producer, Rob Center, is here. Joe McGranahan, my fabulous co-host, is right across from me. And have we ever got a show for you today, folks?
We got a half a dozen emails pending. We're waiting for...
Livelier.
We're waiting for Stan to wake up and send us a text. And boy, I'll tell you what, we got some wonderful sponsors to talk about. How about that Sunbury Motor Company? Joe, have you heard about them?
I have heard about them.
They've been around even longer than you. Check them out at SunburyMotors.com. Joe was logging on to the Sunbury Motors website when he was a kid because he wanted to find out what his next vehicle would be. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. And the toll-free line is exclusively sponsored by none other than the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trotz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. So check them out. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, as some folks have done, and we're going to go right to the emails in a second here. And you can text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you're not a Text Connect member, you can sign up at wkok.com. Send you maybe a dozen messages at the most per month. Breaking national news, local news, information that does impact you, dead celebrities. We did not email out today that Karl Lagerfeld died, so that's a big loss in the fashion world. That's the kind of Text Connect message you can get. Also, closed roads, tornadic weather, you name it. Important information you need to know on Text Connect. Last set of Text Connects, I think, were the information that we sent out when Line Mountain was on lockdown, and then all the other schools were. So we did send out. Then some high winds knocked out traffic lights around here and some power outages all at the same time. So that was a busy afternoon for the Text Connect system.
So you sent more than one?
I think there might have been three or four that afternoon.
Wow.
It was something.
Busy day.
Between the power outages and the closed roads and the Line Mountain School District, then all the other county schools, we had a lot of information to pass along. All right, so that is the Text Connect system, and the best part about it is it's two-way. So once you have an opportunity to receive a message from us, just reply to that message, and we get it right here in the studio and in the newsroom, and we'll try to stay in touch with you.
That sounds like a plan.
All right, we got a couple of topics we can talk about today. Yesterday, we talked about the president a little bit. We talked about Jussie Smollett. No significant developments there other than the individuals who kind of were persons of interest and turned out they might end up being witnesses in the case, saying that they have no animosity towards Mr. Smollett or Gays or anybody else, and that apparently they were paid to do what they wanted to do, and so that was that. So they had a remark, and the attorney for Jussie Smollett says that there's no plans at this time for Jussie to provide any more information to the police. So that's as far as we've gotten there. So no other developments other than that. Got a couple of emails overnight and yesterday, so we'll start out.
You just got rid of one.
We just moved up to a newer one. We read them in the order in which they arose.
I got you. It says, good morning. I see we have more bad news about our new Northumberland County prison. Woman in mate found dead. I haven't heard that story.
Well, Shemokin News Item has that story today, so we'll check that out. Okay. Newsroom's working on that, so they'll keep you up to date with that.
Another emailer says, hello, Trump is now trying to get $8 or $9 billion for this security, not $7.41 billion. Don't want to pay for it. We are now legalizing drugs in America anyway. I'm not happy that the Game Commission has allowed hunting on Sundays.
So we got
a kind of stream of consciousness there.
Right. All right, so yeah, Game Commission commission is considering allowing hunting on Sunday. Some folks are happy with it. Some are not. Let's see. What else did
Don't you think the animals should be given a day off?
Oh, yeah, I don't really favor Sunday hunting. I don't like Sunday hunting. I think there's 1,000 good reasons not to hunt on Sunday. And there's one good reason to hunt on Sunday.
And that's
that why? Why do you just pick out a day of the week and say, okay, you can't hunt this day?
I mean, we used to have blue laws in Pennsylvania that were religiously based, and you couldn't sell quite a few products on Sunday. And that's all gone by the boards.
Right. Well, and that doesn't
This is all product legislation hunting. That's a product of an earlier time.
Right. No, I understand where the tradition came from. But, you know, now in most states you go to, hunting is open during a 3 or 4 month period and closed, or, you know, whatever the period of time is. And it's closed other days. They don't carve out a certain day of the week. So that's why you would allow Sunday hunting. And I understand more people would be able to hunt on Sunday. But I think it's a wonderful tradition of not hunting Sunday. It gives families a break. It gives the wildlife a break. It gives people that are out in the woods hiking and orienteering or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I can see one deer saying to another, thank God it's Saturday.
Well, you know, I know it's funny you would say that because I was talking to a deer yesterday.
Were
and
you?
He said, yeah, this is terrible. If they allow this, we're going to have nowhere to hide. So, yeah, they're worried about
I never knew you spoke to wildlife.
Yes. Well, and you know, there's a geocaching club around here, and they don't want hunting on Sunday.
What's a geocaching club?
Oh, it's people who find things based on boy, I'm surprised you don't know about this. They find things that are hidden. The only way to find them is to use the longitude and latitudinal locations of these things. They're like orienteers, only they went electronic, and now they use electronic data to try to find things. You get clues, you find the clues.
So somebody hides the stuff and they go find
it. Exactly. Okay. Yep,
wow,
yep,
sounds
yep,
like
yep.
a lot of fun.
Well, I guess if you're a nerd and you want to get in the out of doors, that's a good way to mix the two.
An outdoor nerd, there's an oxymoron.
I'm surprised. Well, you wouldn't pick it up because you hate the outdoors, but other people.
I love the outdoors. I spent a lot of my summer outside.
Remember,
I was a boater.
Between the garage and the car?
Remember, I had a boat for 21 years.
Okay, that's
okay?
true.
All right. Another emailer says, okay, here's my 2 cents worth on what I think about this relentless ongoing attempt for the illegals to enter the country. What a perfect way for terrorists to enter the USA. We've stopped people sneaking in on the airways and people going over there and returning full-fledged terrorists, right? Well, fairly stopped. So those who say this is not a covering for them to get in anyway, perhaps all this tyranny and bad life in other countries of South America that they claim they have to flee for a better life. Who's to say this is all nonsense but a way to filter in the ones who plan to take over the country and wipe us out over and over by killings, mass shootings, etc.? Get awake, people. The risk is too high to be stupid. Allow the president to do what he sees fit. I know he knows what he is doing and should be permitted to do so. I can't help the other party has their blinders on, but the possibility exists, right? Their desire to flee these countries could be a farce, and we are the sitting ducks who will suffer if they are successful without coming to the country in the right way. If they do it the right way, I think most of the bad apples will be filtered out.
Well, she's right regarding the terrorism. I've always said that this is a Homeland Security issue that does need to be addressed. Are you okay, buddy?
Yeah, I'm okay. All right. I'm listening.
Oh, just because of the staccato fashion of the way she wrote?
No. I was listening to you.
Okay.
I realize you're not accustomed to that, but I was actually hearing to what you said.
Well, you always listen to the first couple words of my sentences.
Well, usually after that, it's just blah, 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 but go ahead.
Anyway, I think she's on to something. I don't disagree with the first part. Whether it would really help with illegal immigrants or not, that seems to be something else. But it is important that for homeland security that we have secure borders. And we spend a lot of money making sure that airports are safe because we know people are coming in through there.
And I think by and large, I don't always agree with him, but I think he's, you know.
Who appointed him?
I believe he was appointed by President Bush.
Okay.
I may be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure it was President Bush.
Which one? H.W.?
43.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure, because John Roberts is still a fairly young man. I don't think he was appointed by his dad. But in any event, I think that the Supreme Court, if they decide the issue fairly, they will say that the president has the absolute right to decide what is an emergency. They've given him these powers. Congress has given him this legislation. But I think the president, as he often does, has pointed the shotgun at his foot and pulled the trigger. When he said, I don't have to do this now, what kind of an emergency is it if you don't have to do it now?
Well, I think you're 100% right, and I think this is a fake emergency. But I think
I don't think it's a fake emergency. I think he just misspoke.
Well, but I think even with that, even if we could stipulate that it's a fake emergency, I'm not sure that's even enough to stop it. The fact that there's absolutely positively no emergency at all whatsoever, I don't think that's enough to stop it because the powers are so broad. Just saying, I would love to stop him in his tracks.
Why?
Well, because
his goal isn't to do something horrible. It's to, you know, it cracks me up. All these people are saying, well, the wall is immoral. What's immoral about a wall?
Well, I think that that's a humanitarian argument. You would never understand. We'll have to bring in an expert on that topic. Than, please help me just a little bit today. I'm outgunned.
I'm not sure we can help.
Yeah, boy.
I am going to do a rare thing, I suspect, and that is point out just how strong Donald Trump is in some directions. Sadly, he has convinced Joe and Dan from New Berlin and several other people that our Justice Department is not just, that our police are not doing a good job, that our courts are doing bad things because they disagree with our president. That is to be congratulated and terribly frightening to know that that's true. Joe, you're just being misled by a con man, and I wish you'd take a good look at it. You are a man who studied the history and the past, and boy, this guy pops up in history a lot of the time, and he turns out to be P.T. Barnum.
Well, where do you get the idea that he's convinced me that the Justice Department has no justice and the police are not doing a good job?
You speak every day about the fact that they are doing something they should not be doing.
I do? What?
For instance, the Roger Stone thing.
I haven't said a word about Roger Stone.
The way they did that.
Oh, yeah, the way they came to his house, right. Well, I was just quoting other people who said that it was a bigger response than more people were sent to arrest Roger Stone than were sent to get Saddam Hussein.
And you believed that? That's
yes.
Amazing.
It was a story on more than one network.
I can't believe that you came up believing that.
And you don't?
No, for heaven's sakes, no. I think based on reality, not on stuff made up by a con man.
So you don't think that the 45 or 20 or whatever it was, armed men coming to a guy's house in the middle of the night while he poses no threat to them or anybody else, you don't think that was overkill?
Oh, my goodness, Joe. You're freaked. You're being afraid.
I ask you a yes or no question. I ask you a
no,
yes or no question.
I don't think it's overkill. You what? Always say when a cop shoots a kid in the back, well, he should have stopped. He knew he was breaking the law. He should have stopped. Well, the FBI did exactly what they do in every case that involves somebody who could be a problem. And they did. I don't like what they do in many cases, but you are convinced that that was overkill.
Yes, I am.
It's the way they do what they do.
Well, they don't need to do it that way. And how did CNN happen to get there and be notified? They were set up an hour before the cops or the FBI arrived.
Indicating what, Joe?
Indicating that somebody in the Justice Department leaked it.
I see. And you're sure that this happened? This is not...
Dan, there was video of it on TV. He had a household security camera. You could see the CNN guy setting up an hour beforehand. He got his camera out, put it on a tripod. You should try watching some of this stuff a little more carefully, my friend.
Actually, one of the nice things about being retired and lazy, I watch a whole lot of this stuff. I hear the president telling me something, and the next time he says it, he says, I never said that. And you forget that he changes all the time.
You've heard me say on this program from time to time. Yesterday we were talking about his stretching the truth or lies, however you want it. I don't condone what the guy does in many instances.
But
some things he does right.
Huh? You do believe
after I believe what he says after I've looked into it a little more carefully, and if I agree with him, I agree with him. If I don't, I don't.
Okay, I just wanted to point out to you that he's pretty clever. He's got you believing all this stuff.
I think he's the Antichrist, isn't he, Than? He's the Antichrist.
Listen, Joe, this is a serious discussion about the future of our country.
He's got
you
there.
If you want to bring up the Antichrist, go ahead. But I'm being serious.
Well, I don't think he's as bad as you make out or as good as other people make out.
Who,
I think
the
truth is somewhere in the middle. He is a flawed human being who I think has some good policies that I like. It's the policies you hate. But I don't demonize him because I disagree with him.
I do not hate. I am sick and tired of you right-wingers telling me I hate stuff. I do not hate anybody or anything.
You don't hate his policies.
No.
Oh, you love them then, okay.
Policies, I find them to be a grifter of the worst kind, but I don't hate his policies. I don't like them. I think we should be thinking honestly about his policy and not falling for everything he says.
All right, we got you, Than. Okay. Thank you so much for calling in and setting Joe straight.
You're wrong, but
well,
thanks for calling.
I don't think I set him straight. He still believes stuff. You know, the old, he should have known that he was going to be shot in the back or before he did the crime. No, thinking that way isn't going to change.
All right, thank you so much.
Well, I always remember what Ronald Reagan says. The problem with our liberal friends isn't that they're dumb, it's just that they know so many things that aren't so.
All right.
Thank you very much, Joe. You have enlightened the conversation.
Thank you.
And Than, I hope your ears were ringing today. Bob Durr was here, and he's organizing the chili cook-off this weekend at the Scarlet D. And the man who's probably been at every single one of the events is you. So 30 years of chili cook-offs, believe it or not.
Well, that explains it. Than has dyspepsia.
Yeah, if I got gas.
Heartburn. Yes, you do.
That cook-off is just great. I've enjoyed every time I've been there. I did miss a couple back when I decided I was going to get sick.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll never do that again.
I've been there a lot.
All right. Thank you so much,
Than. Are you going this year?
I don't know. I haven't been asked yet. My guess is yes.
All right. Well, enjoy it.
Than, would you please go to the chili cook-off this weekend?
Okay.
There, thank you.
Take
care,
didn't
hear. Than, I'm asking you, will you please go to the chili cook-off this weekend? So that takes care of that. All right, we'll take a quickie break. We got emails, texts, but we don't have callers, so we'll take some more. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line.
Sunbury Motors Ford is getting the year off to a fast start. In January, SMC was right on pace to hit their goal of selling 1,000 new Fords in 2019. In February, Sunbury Motors will shift into high gear during its President's Day sales event. Choose from four city blocks of new Fords with savings up to $16,000. Pack from over 60 new Ford F-150 4x4s priced as low as $29,934. Deals on new 2019 Ford Fiestas are in overdrive. SMC has them starting at just $12,820.
And it gets 35 mpgs.
Select from over 45 Ford Escapes and they're slashed to an amazing price of $17,820. SMC has an incredible deal on a 2018 Ford Fusion. Discounted down to $17,770. Sunbury Motors' goal of 1,000 new Fords in 2019 will give all of Central PA the largest discounts on new Fords in recent history. In February, SMC wants to put you into victory lane and become a member of their 1,000 Club of 2019. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Welcome back. So I'm Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan. Mark Lawrence, distinguished and strikingly handsome, sitting across from me. 1-800-795-9565 is our toll-free hotline number. Brought to you by the Hometown Pharmacies. Our entire program brought to you by the good folks at the Sunbury Motor Company. Our hotlines are open. Give us a call right now if you want to weigh in on our conversation.
I wondered what you were
morning.
Doing here. This is the excitement. Exciting local voices want to talk to you. Mode that you're in,
did
right?
Did we use that? Was that ever one of our promos?
That was one of Kevin's. Yeah, it was from the...
Exciting local voices want to talk to you?
It was from the adult telephone chat line you would call that had a very comparable number.
All right.
And so, remember, exciting local people
I forgot
want
about
to
that.
Talk to you. I think that's still on the computer that Rob has there. Now, he doesn't use those archaic little liners, but... And, you know, he had Governor Rendell saying, I think they should put a statue of me on the mantle. Remember that?
Well, let's see. One of our texters says, Than has drank from the leftist Kool-Aid fountain.
All right.
I didn't say that. One of our texters said
okay.
that.
Okay. So it's okay to make a personal remark as long as it's a texter saying it.
Right. Well, I didn't
All
say
right.
it. And then another one says, the Dems aren't worried about humanitarian needs at the border. They're only worried about power and using the illegals to bolster their voter base.
All right. Well, I think the conservatives are worried about the same thing. They're worried about the dilution of their voter base. That's all they're worried about. If they were honestly, if anybody in Washington were really concerned about immigration, we'd have fencing and walls and even more patrols and electronics and everything. But nobody really wants to solve it. So the Republicans get a good talking point
time
of year.
Nothing demonstrates our desire to use anything that happens to our political advantage more than the Jussie Smollett issue. Because here is a case where now all these people who came out and condemned it immediately, called it a modern-day lynching, now they're saying, well, we should wait till the facts come in before we make a decision.
It's funny because really everybody's being quiet now, which we sort of called for yesterday. We said, well, maybe we should wait till the investigation's over. And we even called attention to the fact that years ago, investigations, strangely enough, were conducted in private. You didn't have, okay, we have two suspects. Oh, nope, they changed their mind. Oh, wait, they're witnesses because they say this. Oh, no, Smollett won't say anything. He won't come back and talk to us. Oh, you know, now the two brothers are talking. None of that was public.
Well, MSNBC's national correspondent Miguel
Alguerez.
Alguerez, right. Really, it's not spelled that way. It's spelled Almaguer. But in any event, he said, there are many indications of a hate crime here. This is when it first happened. They are looking for
Almaguer.
They are looking for two suspects who are wearing, apparently wearing Make America Great Again hats, though this has not yet been officially confirmed. Well, they weren't wearing hats. Liz Plank, host of Vox Media's Consider It, just knew President Trump had something to do with the attack. She said, we don't know what happened to Jussie, but what we do know is that racism is alive and well in this country. There is real evidence of people who have done these crimes who cite that President Trump has inspired them. Jonathan Capehart of the Washington Post agreed with Plank. President Trump was most certainly to blame. The fact that the attackers reportedly said this is MAGA country adds to the sort of atmosphere of menace that African Americans in particular and people of color in general have felt since the advent of the Trump administration.
Well, unfortunately, false facts and false conclusion, calling to attention to a real issue. I mean, there was a time, and I'm not sure that it's exceedingly common at the moment, but when individuals, push was coming to shove between groups of individuals who supported the president and don't, I'm glad to say that that subsided.
We're all guilty of this. We're all guilty of wanting to believe the worst about the people who disagree with us. And I think we've got to stop that in this country. Yes, we are. Come on, we are. If it's something that favors the right, all the right-wingers are saying, oh, that's great, that's fantastic. If it's something that favors the left, they're all on top of it. But nobody's willing to give anybody the benefit of the doubt anymore. If we see something that fits our political perspective and it fits the narrative we want to put forward, we jump all over it, regardless of whether or not it turns out to be incorrect about a week later.
All right, whatever. Anyway.
Whatever. You're dismissing a very serious argument, my friend.
No, I'm just harassing you. All right, next email, please.
All right. Anyone who watched or listened to the president's rambling, incoherent speech outside the White House the other day should need no further evidence that he is not fit to hold public office. Also, remember how all the 911 terrorists got into our country? They did not come in illegally.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, they had visas. Another individual sent us a note that says, good morning, President's Day. Now, this rove yesterday. It says, President's Day is canceled until we get one, meaning the President's Day is canceled until we get a president. I suggest having a White Russian and Cheetos for lunch today. Donald filed a fake national emergency crisis that should be a fraud. The only reason he sent our troops to the border was to claim his fake emergency. Sad that a president would do this to the military who are overseas getting killed every day. This is not a national emergency. Thanks, Bob.
Or crisis, it says. But even President Obama called it a crisis. So
oh, okay.
What do we do?
Well, I'm sure if President Obama said it, it must be true.
It must be true.
All right, we'll see what
the
courts
say. Again,
what's
the difference between a crisis and an emergency?
We're going to find out in the months ahead. This is News Radio 1070 WDKOK. More emails and calls coming up next on WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is with me. Rob Sanders, the fabulous producer, and we're going to have a super great, wonderful, extra deluxe show today.
This All right, is Central. That's much better.
This is Central Pennsylvania's greatest show on earth. It's
Say it like you mean it.
Our show is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company.
All right.
Please, we beg of you, check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is completely open, except if it's not. Call us at 1-800-799.
No, we have a call on that. We have one call.
Well, it's not completely open.
No, then
one of the lines is presently occupied. And the toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Let's talk about the hometown pharmacies. It's places where you can see Steve at the Norrie Pharmacy, Jennifer at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. She's the head pharmacist. Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy. Tyler out at Trutz Pharmacy. He's the owner of the Shade Mountain Pharmacy. But Terry, I believe is his nephew, is hard at work there making sure that things are happening. And I'll tell you what, these are good, well-run family operations run by real people you know in the community. They're supporting local charities, churches, fire companies, and everything else in the community. And they would just love to super serve you as well. Drug take-back, delivery, just some of the services they offer. And guess what? The best thing about it is you get personalized service. You're not treated like a number. In fact, they don't even have those little number-taking devices that make you wait in line. Some of the other big-box pharmacies are so slow, you got to take a number to find out which number you're going to get. So it's pretty bad. So this is an opportunity for you to get real personalized, sit down, converse, and have a quiet, relaxed time at the pharmacy and making sure that you get the information you need from a hometown pharmacy, Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Lewisburg Pharmacy. In the news, we have Northumberland Borough Councilman and former retired journalist and fire police member has died. Borough Council member Paul Boyer died Saturday evening. He was 69 years old, died of cancer. Paul Ruan, who's the Borough Council Vice President, tells us that Boyer's been undergoing chemotherapy and radiation for cancer. Ruan says Boyer was chair of the street department while on council. He was a great leader. He was a volunteer firefighter, worked for the Daily Item for decades, and recently had joined Northumberland Fire Police in the organization. He was a secretary. He'd be very much missed in the borough of Northumberland. On social media and around here, there's outrage that a local man who has cerebral palsy will be let go at Walmart because the job descriptions and requirements of the job are being upped in the months ahead. On her Facebook page, Holly Caitlin, a local mother, mother of Adam, who Adam is known as the happy greeter at Walmart, announced that Adam will be let go because the job descriptions have outdone his abilities. As I mentioned, he has cerebral palsy, but is quite able to greet individuals and can do some other jobs at the store, but not lifting 25 pounds and other duties that exceed his abilities. She says Adam uses a walker and has low vision, but nonetheless is welcomed by individuals as they come to the Walmart. Holly says that it's a tough decision, but she says corporations have to do what they have to do. We are contacting Walmart, and so far no comment from them about letting this young man go. And a Florida sixth grader faces charges of disrupting a school function and resisting arrest after a confrontation that followed his refusal to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. In a statement Sunday, Lakeland, Florida police say a school resource officer was alerted to a disturbance created by a student in the classroom at Lawton Trials Middle Academy on February 4th. According to police, the student initially refused to leave the room, continued to be disruptive, and made threats while being escorted to the school's office by the officer and the school's dean. The statement says the student was charged based on his failure to comply with the officer's and dean's orders, not his refusal to participate in the pledge. Polk County students aren't required to stand for the pledge. The boy's mother said the 11-year-old normally declines to stand for the pledge. He had a substitute teacher February 4th, and she ordered him to stand up. The boy's mother said the school should have disciplined her son differently. He has moved on to a private school. In a statement Monday, the school district official said the substitute teacher hadn't been made aware of the policy allowing students to opt out of the pledge. She was asked to leave the school after the boy's arrest, and she would no longer be allowed to work in any of the district schools, according to the statement the officer...
Right, fire her because they didn't tell her about the policy, and she didn't follow a policy she didn't know about. Common sense.
All right, well... I guess you're right. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. According to the statement, the officer decided to arrest the student, though no one from the school requested to press charges. Quote, we do not condone the substitute's behavior. We respect our students' right to freedom of expression, and we are committed to protecting that critical right while ensuring peaceful classrooms so all students can learn, unquote, said the district. Unless, of course, you're a substitute teacher, and, of course, one step out of line, you're out the door. Okay. All right.
We're really inclusive here.
Why don't you read the email and then we'll hit the phones.
All right. Doug says from Lewistown, I guess we really shouldn't be surprised that the media runs with a story about a black man being beat by Trump supporting white men without waiting for the facts to come out. If it fits their narrative, the media is all in. Our Congress and FBI is kind of doing the same thing. Usually a crime is committed and then they investigate. But when it comes to President Trump, they investigate to try and find a crime. Our media and government are broken and corrupt. So there.
Right. And what have
put
you...
Put that in your pipe and smoke.
And what have you heard since it looked like Jussie might have paid those individuals?
That's what they're saying, or they apparently told the police that they were paid to assault him.
Right. Here's what you hear from MSNBC.
Right. Yes, on that Morning Joe, he and Mick are talking about anything but this.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. Eric, thanks for waiting. You are on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to try to bring up a unifying topic this morning, if we can. George Mendoza died yesterday. Who's George Mendoza?
He's the man in the Times Square kissing the dental hygienist.
VJ Day.
That's exactly right. The iconic sailor laying a big kiss on someone in Times Square in celebration of VJ Day, the end of World War II. We still have in our valley, so blessed to have in our valley, several World War II vets who have many stories to tell. And I wanted to share one this morning from down here in Port Treverton. Eugene Harold, Kel Harold is his name, lived in Central Pennsylvania his whole life, went off to war soon after the war started, was in the Big Red One. So for a history buff, that's the first division. And there was a famous movie about the Big Red One.
Yep.
And Kel was in it, and he actually was in three separate invasions, North Africa, Italy, and then Omaha Beach. And he was wounded, I think, three or four times. He was actually wounded. He was in the second wave coming in on Omaha Beach, and he was hit in the leg and wounded on D-Day on Bloody Omaha. My point is that we still have these living historians amongst us, and we need to lift them up and say, you know, thank you, the greatest generation. And also just for all of our veterans. I can understand the picture of the sailor. My dad was a sailor, 34 years in the Navy. Now he was only 11 years old when World War II ended, so his service was at the Korean War and past that time. But we just need to recognize our vets and our older vets who are losing at a quite alarming rate. And just to all my listeners out there, if you have a vet, talk to them, share with them, you know, their memories and so forth, because for too long they'll all be gone. But we need to certainly lift up our vets and thank you. And when you see a lot more, and it really makes my heart feel good, I see more and more our Vietnam vets wearing the hats and the shirts. I'm a Vietnam vet. You see one of those guys, you go across Walmart, wherever you're at, and you shake your hand and say, thank you for your service, because we did not. We did not as a nation thank him for their service when they came back from Vietnam in the late 60s. 70s.
Very true.
Unfashionable.
Yep, very
you
true.
You go across, you shake that vet's hand and say thank you for your service.
Okay. Thank you for your call.
Well, Eric, I don't have to go too far to talk to a good World War II vet. My father's a World War II vet, still lives in Sunbury, and is definitely a member of the Greatest Generation. There's no argument there.
Absolutely.
So.
Oh, if Mr. Harold Kell is listening today, Kell, thank you for your service.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank all of our appreciate World War II veterans for their service.
1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners sent this note.
Dick says, the president stated live, I might add, the wall will be harder to climb than Mount Everest. Sadly, he believes this, as do many of his supporters.
All right. Lance, you're on the mark. Thanks for being such a fabulous listener and a great caller. You're on the mark.
I don't know about that, but anyway, I certainly... Say amens and mega dittos to the last caller. I mean, think about the sacrifice that that generation gave us to give us what we have now. You just get tears in your eyes, you know. Anyway, when you think about a national emergency, what if every 18 months there was an outfit that was doing everything that happened on 9/11? That much of a loss of life, 3,000 people dying. Do you think that's a national emergency?
I would think we'd call it one, yes.
If they were doing it, what, every day? Or
every 3 months.
Every 3 months, okay.
Yeah, because that's exactly what illegals are doing to us. They're providing us with that many murders, and nobody seems to care. On the other hand, the same people that want to let all of those folks in that caused this havoc, they're the ones who want to, like ban semi-auto rifles, which are used about 300 times a year to kill somebody.
So they're about the safest weapons out there. Well, I understand what you're saying, that the numbers seem to imply that there may be a national emergency and maybe President Trump gets that. But everybody else in Washington, D.C. says, well, you know, a lot of the 11 million people here in the U.S. are working. They help us. They help prop up our 401Ks, so they keep us going. If you're retired, it helps keeps us in the pink. I'd hate to do anything to upset the apple cart, so we're not going to actually crack down on illegal immigration. We'll talk about it. We'll campaign about it, but when it comes to taking action, we'll be certain not to do so because it helps the U.S. economy. You need people to pick things that other folks don't want to pick. You need individuals who might be here illegally to take jobs that others won't take. So that's why they won't do anything in Washington. That's why the president is such a pariah in Washington, because he actually wants to do something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why he was elected, because they weren't doing their job.
Well, yeah, and they'll try to do whatever they can to stand in his way to make
sure. You always hear the argument, how are you going to deport 11 million people? I think that you've just given us the answer. We put an ad in the paper saying, attention, here are jobs people don't want. And then you come and get them, and we arrest you and deport you.
It's not that simple.
I'm pretty sure it's not that simple, too.
Well, on the jobs that people don't want department, recently, and this was well chronicled in a well-known paper, in Oklahoma, it was a Swift and Company plant. They raided it, and there was 135 people there that became persona non grata real quick. Well, they couldn't find them and the whole deal, so they put out to replace them. Yeah, they had like 800 applicants for those jobs, so it wasn't that bad. And you think about the high-tech butchering that's done in Philadelphia.
So were the 800 people, forgive me, but were the 800 people, your implication is that people had those jobs were illegal immigrants, and they advertised to replace them after they were removed, and 800 people showed up for the jobs. Were the 800 people American citizens, or were they more illegal immigrants?
Well, the way they talked, they were, American folks.
Then they aren't taking jobs people don't want if Americans are applying for them after they've been arrested.
Yeah. But that's one that's glaring that you can really check up on. Another thing here is our racism, okay? When you really look at it here, in the last 15 months, the same number of Afro-Americans were killed by other Afro-Americans as what were killed by the KKK between 1920 and 1940. Which was the hard, hard times for the lynchings. I mean, that's really something, isn't it?
Where did you get that?
He made it up.
Oh, that was Nigel Ennis, who his father was the head of the Committee on Racial Equality. Remember the Freedom Riders?
Mm-hmm.
That was his organization, and he was on an interview talking about it.
Well, Tucker Carlson wrote a story on Fox News, of course, that talks about the Jussie Smollett case. He says, now that the story is coming completely apart, with police sources saying Smollett likely orchestrated the entire attack himself, but while we wait for the facts to come to light, it's worth remembering that almost 3,000 people were shot in the city of Chicago last year. Women, small children, sometimes alone, sometimes in groups. Many hundreds of them died, and not a single one received anything like the attention the media has lavished on a relatively minor assault alleged by Smollett. On the other hand, none of Chicago's 3,000 shootings were even half as useful as Smollett's story politically.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It really is. And when you think about MS-13 getting up there in the midst and warring with the gangs that are already in power, why, that's going to create quite a slaughter, too. But then MS-13 only exists on Fox News, right?
There are some on the left who would have you believe that.
Well, I think that's it. If you take, for every, how did it work out? For about every 25 school kids that were shot at school, MS-13 has killed something like 130. Mm. So it's really there. And then they want to abolish ICE. I mean, unless we have a force here that's equal to the force that has taken over in many Central and South American countries, and they're horrid. Unless we can fight that, we're going to have the same thing here.
Okay.
All right. We got you, Lance. Thank you so much for checking in. Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. We'll take a quick break. We got more emails. We're sifting through a plethora of great emails today. So now we got another one about the teacher who required a student to stand up during the pledge, which, of course, is not required in real life. So we'll talk about that. We have other emails pending with other topics, and we'd love to hear from you. We got an open phone and an open text box. You can text us at 702-236 if you're a Text Connect customer, or you can call us. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line.
Oh, the weather outside's been frightful. School cancellations are delightful. I want to go play in the snow. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Why is it that only kids are excited when it snows? Mom gets all crazy about going to the store for bread, milk, and eggs, and Dad runs to the hardware store for more salt. One of the quickest stops we make is our hometown pharmacy. We call ahead for our prescriptions, pick them up, and head on home to build the biggest snow fort on the block.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today at Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. Nori Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trutz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg. And Danville Pharmacy, Mill Street, Danville.
Can anyone tell me, what's the big deal about bread, milk, and eggs? I mean, what's everybody gonna do? Sit inside and eat French toast while watching Snowmageddon hit?
Your hometown pharmacy, making a difference every season, every day.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're enjoying open phones. We're talking a little bit about Jussie Smollett. We have talked about a student who refused to stand during the Pledge of Allegiance in a school in Florida and subsequently was called out by the teacher in order to stand up. Then the student went ballistic when the school resource officer showed up. And to that end, one of our listeners sends us a note. This is the bigger email behind that, Joe.
Okay. Read the email?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Oh, you, is that a bizarre thing?
No, I'm just on the show. I was wool gathering. That teacher was wrong, pure and simple. As a professional educator, she certainly should have been aware of this famous U.S. Supreme Court decision in 1943. West Virginia State Board of Education versus Barnett is a landmark decision by the United States Supreme Court holding that free speech clause of the First Amendment protects students from being forced to salute the American flag or say the Pledge of Allegiance in public school. The court's 6-3 decision, delivered by Justice Robert H. Jackson, is remembered for its forceful defense of free speech and constitutional rights generally as being placed beyond the reach of majorities and officials. Barnett overruled a 1940 decision on the same issue, Minersville, Pennsylvania School District versus Gobitis, in which the court stated that the proper recourse for dissent was to try to change the public school policy democratically. It was a significant court victory won by Jehovah's Witnesses, whose religion forbade them from saluting or pledging to symbols, including symbols of political institutions. However, the court did not address the effect the compelled salutation and recital ruling had on their particular religious beliefs, but instead ruled that the state did not have the power to compel speech in that manner for anyone. In overruling Gobitis, the court primarily relied on the free speech clause of the First Amendment rather than the free exercise clause.
Okay, so
some things that are decided do get changed.
Right, and so we have to, teachers should know that, I guess, that students don't have to stand. I'm not sure why the student will be so upset that this kid didn't stand up anyway, you know?
Well, you're right. I mean, in today's world, that's kind of accepted. What it doesn't say, quite frankly, is the age of the substitute teacher.
Okay.
I would suspect, and I could be wrong, that it would be a lady of some maturity. Because, you know, who was used to the kids when she was teaching, standing up for the Pledge of Allegiance and the recitation of the pledge.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you think?
Yep.
I think a younger person would be more attuned to the fact that today's laws give kids the right to refuse to participate.
Right. And it's not that unusual in schools today that somebody doesn't stand for the pledge or, you know, won't stand for the national anthem. These individualists are all over the place, we're glad to say. I know when I was in high school, there were individuals who refused to pledge.
When I went to school refused to stand up and pledge because, frankly, they would have probably been whipped by the teachers.
Well, but they had that right, and so that was an opportunity. They were using their free speech.
Nobody,
I understand how free speech is abhorrent to you, but
people do use it. I just never saw. I was surprised to read that case was from 1940.
Yeah, that's an old case.
So, which means kids in my generation could have refused to stand for the pledge of allegiance, but none did.
Well, and I think what happened is you get...
At least not in my school.
You get principals who would intervene who would never let the student know, hey, by the way, you're allowed to stand up. You know, we didn't have the internet to search, do I have to stand for the pledge or not? So I think a lot of kids got beaten down because they weren't aware that the court was on their side.
Every school day, and I went to William Penn High School in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, so I assume the same was true at John Harris, the other high school there, and probably at Bishop McDevitt, the Catholic high school in the early 1960s.
Okay.
We started off the day with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. You know, we stood for that. And then somebody read 10 verses from the Bible. That was every day.
Okay.
Every school day, that was how we started.
And your Jewish friends just listened like nothing was wrong?
Well, my best friend all through high school years was Jewish, and we split the reading a lot of times. He would read from the Old Testament, I'd read from the New Testament.
Oh, so he'd stick with the Jewish part. Okay.
Right.
I got you. All right. One of our listeners sent us a diatribe that's 300 words long, but we can read the first couple paragraphs.
Okay. Occasionally, you all like to discuss word choices on the air. I note that the wording in the MedMJ
Medical Marijuana.
Medical marijuana press release is worthy of a thrashing. No amount of abuse to the state would be sufficient to right this wrong. First year medical marijuana sales PA headlines. Well, that's a link, right?
Right. So what happened was a week ago, AP did a story about the medical marijuana numbers, how many are being, dispensations of this drug are taking place. I think the number was like 600,000 or something.
All right. Well, it says state officials say Pennsylvania's medical marijuana program provided the drug nearly 600,000 times during its first year of sales. The use of the word provided is obscene. All the state has done was to finally pause an artificial prohibition to allow human beings to conduct trade in a plant which God has seen fit to provide us, in which some have found relief. To say that state government has provided anything of any utility by this conduct can only be rooted in the most self-important attitude towards government control that I struggle to find the words. State government didn't plant one seed. State government didn't water, state, or provide light or nutrition or harvest or weigh, package, or deliver. The state, in fact, has hampered, under the threat of criminal prosecution, literally every other method of providing relief to those suffering with ailments able to be treated with marijuana.
Well, Big Brothers knows what's good for you. I mean, Gene Yaw talked about it when he was here. There's just some things that you don't know what's good for you. You don't enjoy freedoms, and so you have to do what the government wants you to do. It's not a matter of, it's not like a medical issue, and it's not like a police state or it's anything. It's just that our legislators fancy themselves doctors, and they know the best way to deal with various medical ailments.
About a semantic issue. He's saying the state didn't provide it.
Well, no, but the point is that...
But the state did provide it in that they allowed it to be provided.
Right.
Maybe that's a better way to say it.
First of all, they took something that should have never been illegal in the first place, made it illegal based on a bunch of myths and false diatribes.
Then
they controlled it over the years and said, okay, turns out that, as everybody had argued all along, there's some slight beneficial effects. So if you pay us a lot of money in state government, we'll let you sample this.
Had you ever seen Reefer Madness?
I did a long, long time. I think we watched it
in
high school.
Didn't that scare you?
I would not say I was scared. I was probably high at the time and was laughing hysterically.
Hysterically, yeah, okay. Well, let's face it. I mean, marijuana has been the subject of a lot of discussion, pro and con, for more years than you and I have been alive. But the issue really is the federal government needs to take it off the Schedule I list and encourage, finally, scientific research into the efficacy of it in whatever form you may find that works.
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
Then allow it.
Really,
if it has more positives than negatives, allow it, for heaven's sakes. Let's stop playing games.
If people want to ingest a plant into their head, they should be permitted to. This is a freedom issue. This has nothing to do with Schedule I or anything else.
You include magic mushrooms in that discussion?
Well,
they want to eat hallucinogenic mushrooms? That's okay.
I don't have any problem with that. If other people want to do that, I wouldn't do it. But you know, honestly, this idea that Joe, do not drink that Pepsi because there's a diet substance in there that's not good for you. If I did that, you'd be like, oh, a bunch of hooey. But no, you sit over there and say, Mark, marijuana's not good for you. I don't want you to do it. So
I'm not
that's
saying,
ridiculous.
No, I'm saying exactly the opposite of that. I'm saying we need to research it to find out whether it's harmful. I mean, I get all the times, I drink Diet
what
Pepsi.
What don't you know about
I drink
pot?
Diet Pepsi without caffeine. And every time I get up in the morning, there's some story on Gordon Deal about how I'm going to drop dead from drinking artificially sweetened soft drinks.
Right. All right.
So, but is that, I make that choice myself, Mark. I know that there's research that shows maybe this isn't the best thing for me to do. I also eat bacon like it's going out of style.
All right. So, but why isn't don't you think the government should protect you from making those terrible choices for yourself?
No.
Of course not.
Not if I understand the risks involved. But my point is we haven't done enough research on marijuana to understand the risks.
I'm going to throw the pen at you.
No,
this
we
is
haven't.
Ridiculous. We've done enough research.
Didn't you hear the research? Now, I listen to Gordon Deal every morning. He ran a story the other week that they had found that in some new research showed that marijuana in young people can cause brain problems.
Okay. So, all right, let's stipulate
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying. They need to do more research, comprehensive
let's
research.
Let's stipulate that we have to take a break.
Why?
Well, let's stipulate that marijuana is bad for you and
I'm
that it kills
that.
Brain cells and that if you drive while you're enjoying it, you won't be a sharp driver. You know, you'll be under the influence, so to speak, and that it is bad for kids and we should restrict it. Can you think of anything where we've said, okay, a little adult use is okay, don't drive with it and don't let kids have it? Could we just put it on that level? We'll call it alcohol, all right?
Which but what if we call it smoking? And we spend millions of dollars trying to get people to stop doing it, telling them how bad it is
money.
For their for their health.
Why doesn't the government govern instead of sticking their nose in my body? So how about we try that for a change?
Well, there's a concept I'll carry with me the rest of the day, the government sticking its nose in your body.
All right, I got to take the break.
1-800 definitely should.
1-800-795-9565. Senator, you all wanted to talk about medical ailments the other day. I just wanted to talk about freedom. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is the toll-free line that free Americans are capable of dialing on their own.
Sunbury Motors Ford is getting the year off to a fast start. In January, SMC was right on pace to hit their goal of selling 1,000 new Fords in 2019. In February, Sunbury Motors will shift into high gear during its President's Day sales event. Choose from four city blocks of new Fords with savings up to $16,000. Pack from over 60 new Ford F-150 4x4s priced as low as $29,934. Deals on new 2019 Ford Fiestas are in overdrive. SMC has them starting at just $12,820.
And it gets 35 mpgs.
Select from over 45 Ford Escapes, and they're slashed to an amazing price of $17,820. SMC has an incredible deal on a 2018 Ford Fusion, discounted down to $17,770. Sunbury Motors' goal of 1,000 new Fords in 2019 will give all of Central PA the largest discounts on new Fords in recent history. In February, SMC wants to put you into victory lane and become a member of their 1,000 Club of 2019. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Hey, welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 1-800-795-9565. Two callers waiting, one coming in. We'll take more comers on that Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Cindy, you're on the mark. Thank you so much for calling in.
Well, here's the game. See, the government offers a social welfare program that is directed at these social ills. Like, let's say, soda drinking. And so they conjure up this program. And then it becomes costly. And so then they say, well, we have to control your behavior because you're costing us more money to interfere with what you're doing. And if you examine the things that the government has put forward as prohibition or as attempting control, you'll see that over and over again, this pattern repeated. Well, we'll help these people. Oh, wait, we have to spend too much money to help these people. Now let's control these people so that we don't spend so much money. I mean, over and over again, you see this. Right now, look at what they're doing with drug addiction and the opiates. The very same thing, right? So that's really what's being... It's a backdoor methodology for trying to control people.
But doesn't society have some vested interest in maintaining people's health, even if they want to ruin it themselves?
No, I know you think we're all cogs in your wheel. I understand that. You've reflected that time and time again in the things that you say. But no, you have no right to control me in as much as I remain undisturbing to you.
But Cindy...
Now, what you've decided is that you've crawled up on some rock and you're looking down saying, well, geez, that's Cindy O'Hara. She's disturbing me. But it's not true. I don't do anything purposefully to upset your world, but you've decided to umbrella my world into it, and then now you've decided I'm disturbing you.
No, actually, what I've decided is that I'm worried about you,
Cindy.
Well, you don't have the right to run my life any more than I have the right to run yours.
But
Joe.
Cindy,
your right to control me ends at the end of my nose.
You are making unwise choices, Cindy. Honestly,
those are mine to make.
Well,
I think that Joe's squandering. God knows how much money on a boat was an unwise decision, but I would certainly say that he had every right to do that.
But this is...
I think that, you know, there are people who would argue that people who have homes, single-family homes, are destructive in many ways. I think those people have every right to have them. I don't think we all have to live in high-density housing because it uses less resources. In fact, there's a lot of argument for when you jam people into these high-density houses, it creates a social tension, and in the end breaks down. And we see this in the federal housing programs, where they've had to tear down those massive intensive housing things because it turns out people don't react so well to being jammed together.
But Cindy, every law we enact regulates human behavior in one way, shape, or form. Laws that require us not to cross the center line of a highway and run in the opposite lane, they regulate your ability.
There's the difference, Joe.
What's the difference?
There's the difference, you see. Because I want to use the road and you want to use the road. And so we have to make some reasonable rules of the road. I agree. But if I choose to, and I don't do this, but if I choose to use some substance in my body, that's my business. It isn't your right to control me on that. I know that, you know, that
schools,
our government, and many people in our society have devoted themselves to trying to deter people from the substances that we choose to put into our body.
Well, from now on,
Cindy, you're a nurse, and you must have seen.
They even go farther to mandate that some substances be put in our bodies against our will. That's the irony of and the perversion of the whole discussion.
Well, I agree with you on that, but Cindy, you're a nurse. You must have seen the terrible toll that some of these decisions take on people, whose effect is not just on themselves but on their loved ones and on society in general.
Well, it is only a terrible effect on society if you sit down and start getting all obsessed with this whole cog theory, right? If you say, if Cindy were working instead of sitting home, then we would make more money on Cindy and there would be more tax money. And I've read these reports. It's so audacious what these people say, that a person who chooses, for example, not to go to work is actually, quote-unquote, harming society because they're not producing cash into the system, which makes other people wealthy, and they're not paying taxes into the system that the government wants to sustain.
Thank you so much.
Well, I'm still gonna worry about you, Cindy. But even though you tell me I don't have to,
I can take care of myself.
So now, Cindy,
I have to go to the next
caller.
I give you my respect, and in such, I defer to you your wisdom about how to control your body, and I'm asking that same respect from you.
Thank you so much.
You can do what you want, but I'm going to worry about you.
We got to move on to the next caller. Right. Dan, you are on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, you're talking about the foods that harm you. Well, I grew up on the farm, and most of my relatives were farmers. We all butchered. We made a lot of bacon, sausage, country ham, and we grew up on that kind of food, and most of my relatives lived in their late 80s and 90s, eating that kind of a diet. But here what happened, the doctor warned my great-grandmother. He said, lady, you're eating all this butchered food, hog jowls, you know, fat back and all that kind of stuff. He said, that's going to kill you. And here comes the punchline. It did. She died at 99. So, you know.
Well, they'll pull the bacon out of my cold, dead hand.
Me too. And, you know, Joe, I have to respond. You know, ever since Trump got elected, I've been drinking too much Diet Coke. I wonder what that is.
It wakes you up.
It's caffeine. I guess I must be following my hero or my god.
Yeah. All right.
And, you know, I guess I'm getting in the wrong kind of a diet drink. But anyway, I don't think a little bit of anything won't hurt.
Well, it's not the fact that a little bit hurts you or doesn't hurt you. The fact that the government knows best, and, you know, honestly, we should make Diet Pepsi illegal and bacon should be illegal. They're not good for you. Marijuana's not good for you.
Shut your mouth.
See? Oh, it's fine until your ox gets gored and then butchered and we take the bacon.
But you do not see the difference between cocaine and pork?
What's disappointing is that you don't see the similarity. All right, Dan, we'll give you the last word. Go right ahead.
Yeah, you got it. No, that's about
that's it. Okay,
all
good.
I had today. All right. And great program.
Thank you very much.
Well, meet you later. We'll have some bacon, Dan.
Right, we appreciate that. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Another caller before the break would be Joseph from Milton on saluting the flag, which one young man in Florida was not interested in doing. Joseph, you're on the mark.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Hey, I wanted to say hi to my old friend, Than. I heard him on there this morning. He's giving you kind of a rough time. Well, I used to, he's probably listening, so hi, Than. I used to talk to you out at the flea market there, usually every first day of the week, and we always disagreed on about everything. But I want to say hi. I like Than.
Than's a very likable guy.
Yes, and I'd like to quick comment on what I've been listening to here first about eating. You know, the very first sin was eating something they were not supposed to eat. Now, he gave them the choice, and to that lady, You have the opportunity. You have the choice. You're a free moral agent. You can do as you please. But the Almighty said to the first two couple, Adam and Eve, you may eat of the tree of the life, of the tree of life, but you may not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day you eat it, you'll die. So, well, there you go. And that brings death upon all mankind, even to this day. So I think we'd best heed what he had to say.
Don't
now,
eat.
We'll get back to saluting the flag.
Well, I'm just glad it was apples and not bacon.
Pardon me?
I said I'm just glad it was apples and not bacon.
Well, it is bacon, my friend. In Leviticus chapter 12 or 13, I think it is, you may eat anything that splits the hoof and chew the cud in the fur-bearing critters and critters of the earth.
There, you're
the
happy now.
The hog splits the hoof, but he doesn't chew the cud, so he's unclean. The scripture says that. They're not good for you.
All right.
But anyway.
Next topic.
Again, the saluting of flag. I'm a believer, and I'd like to talk to all the Christians out there that are so patriots. And I'm a patriot because I live in this country. I was in the Army. My father served in the Second World War, and I wasn't a believer at the time, okay? But when I became a believer in the Almighty, I cannot salute the flag. And here's the reason why. In the scriptures, in Corinthians, it says that a believer, if you're a believer, you're an ambassador for a heavenly kingdom. So I cannot be affiliated in the kingdoms of this world. And I would not salute the American flag for this reason, because that flag stands over and protects the rights of abortion clinics. If you want to set up a church and worship the devil, you are protected by the Bill of Rights and by the Constitution. I live under that protection, too, and I'm thankful for it. But what people don't understand, this country was founded by Freemasons, and they did not believe in the fall. And when I say the fall, I'm talking about what Adam and Eve did. They believed that what they did was only logical and reasonable. And out of 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, some 50 were Masons. And every general officer in George Washington's army was a Mason. And but what I'm saying is, Masonry gives the right for abortion. In other words, according to the Constitution, abortion is legal, but not in the eyes of the Almighty. Of course not. But according to the Constitution, you have the right. That's what the judges said.
All right, go ahead and wrap up. We're just about out of time, but go ahead and wrap up.
You cannot, if you're a believer in the Almighty, you can't pledge your allegiance cannot be divided. You can't be pledged. If I pledge my allegiance to this country or any country, then I would be divided because my allegiance is pledged to his kingdom.
Not really, because the words under God are in there now. One nation under God.
You can't serve two masters.
You're saying that the nation is under God, under God's guidance, under his direction.
All right, we got to hit
again,
the message.
If you look closely into Freemasonry, the under God does not mean, they were not talking about the Almighty. They were talking what you see above the pyramid in the $1 bill, the all-seeing eye of Ra, or Satan. That's
right.
What that represents.
That.
All right. Thank you so
don't
much.
Don't buy that, but thanks for calling, Joseph.
Yeah, thanks,
appreciate
you, Joseph.
Your call.
Very, very much appreciated. Thank you for calling. All right. 1-800-795-9565. We got open phones. Give us a buzz. We got one more email. It's a biggie. And we got one more caller, and he's a biggie, but we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
Sunbury Motors Ford is getting the year off to a fast start. In January, SMC was right on pace to hit their goal of selling 1,000 Ford in 2019. In February, Sunbury Motors will shift into high gear during its President's Day sales event. Choose from four city blocks of new Fords with savings up to $16,000. Pick from over 60 new Ford F-150 4x4s priced as low as $29,934. Deals on new 2019 Ford Fiestas are in overdrive. SMC has them starting at just $12,820.
And it gets 35 MPGs.
Select from over 45 Ford Escapes and they're slashed to an amazing price of $17,820. SMC has an incredible deal on a 2018 Ford Fusion, discounted down to $17,770. Sunbury Motors' goal of 1,000 new Fords in 2019 will give all of Central PA the largest discounts on new Fords in recent history. In February, SMC wants to put you into victory lane and become a member of their 1,000 Club of 2019. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Oh, the stuff Joe says off mic. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We got a caller standing by. But first and foremost, I got to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company. Family-owned dealership since 1915. 4th Street, Sunbury, is where you find all the Fords, the Hyundais, and the Lincolns. And the Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can go over there and talk to Austin. He'll get you hooked up. And guess what? You'll be happy that you talk to the Sunbury Motor Company. You'll save a lot of money. You'll get super service. You get to go to their auto mecca on 4th Street where they got the body shop, the garage, the quick lane, the car dealership, and everything else you need to take care of vehicles. They do alignments, you name it. Everything will be taken care of at the Sunbury Motor Company, and they would just love to do business with you. They sell Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. SunburyMotors.com, a good starting point to make sure that your next vehicle comes from the Sunbury Motor Company. Dale, thanks for waiting. You're very, 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 very patient. I appreciate that. You are on the mark.
Yeah, what Cindy don't realize is, you know, people who benefit from the government are in the government, or, you know.
Well, I'm sure she realizes that governmental employees benefit from the government. Hard to forget.
Yep, and people who pay into the system are the ones that just go to, you know, the way the system's designed. But I don't want to touch base with that person at Walmart.
Wait. Say that again.
Your phone's a little breaking up, Dale.
Something about Walmart.
Yeah, I want to touch base with that kid who works at Walmart. I think that he's godsend.
Well, go to Walmart. He's right there at the front door.
Yeah, I always, he lightens my spirit. But I just say, you know, all it comes down to is that Walmart has to pay the government, which is a third-party system, a little bit more money. And now they can't afford, you know, to do something, you know, God-given, God-willing. I think that kid's an angel. So I just say, you know, our president is all worried about banks and big money, and you are all just crumbs. So I just say,
wow.
how many people who go in Walmart, you just sit out in the parking lot, you know, just wait for your wife, and you count the people coming in and out of there.
If you catch my wife at Walmart, it'll be quite the discovery. All right, thank you, Dale.
Let me tell you something.
There's a
lot of people coming in and out of there, and Walmart does nothing for our county or our community. All they do is just shut down other private stores, and they just take all their customers.
Well,
they're selling everything.
They let Girl Scouts sell cookies on the apron of the store.
Yeah, that's the limitation. They should just go out there and get those people a check so they won't have to stay out there in the cold, because how much revenue they're coming in with, and they're doing nothing. I don't blame people going to Walmart. I blame our parents and our grandparents for allowing this to happen. And I say, it's just going to keep happening. But I just say that kid was heavenly sent, and it's a shame that they're going to do that. So this world has no room for goodness.
All right, we got you, Dale. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call.
I agree that I don't think Walmart should have changed the rules. I mean, if they hired these people to do one thing, and now all of a sudden they say they got to lift 25 pounds. Well, if they didn't have to lift 25 pounds before, why do they have to lift it now?
It's not right.
No,
can you read
not.
That last email with a sounder sounding?
No, I can't get that all in 20 seconds. Well, I save it for tomorrow.
It's only 312 words.
Right, well, I don't think I can read that fast.
All right, well, in that case, we'll take up the last email tomorrow. Joe, we'll see you then.
I'll be back.
And we thank Rob for being a fabulous producer. We thank you for being wonderful listeners and fabulous callers. And we'll pick up where we left off tomorrow, talking about freedom. It's all about freedom. Get your nose out of my body. This is WKOK Sunbury.